This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. No Brian Rowitz today, but I'm Gabe Dinesel from ESPN Milwaukee, along with our guy who's going to be all over and already has been all over all things Elimination Chamber down in Chicago. You can hear him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago each and every morning, or check him out Sundays. I saw you tweet about this as well. Just re-signed with SiriusXM Pro Wrestling Nation and the Busted Open crew every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern time. He is Jonathan Good. What's going on, Hoodie?
I am doing fine, thank you. I'm waiting to re-sign at Good Karma Wrestling. I'm working without a contract. I'm waiting for Brolet to send me the paper.
Oh, I've been working out the contract this entire time. So, like, I didn't even realize you got one. Like, good for you, man. Good for you.
That's what I'm waiting for. So we will see. But yeah, looking forward to Elimination Chamber in Chicago at the United Center. The WWE has not been at the United Center in over 30 years. They were here when it opened, Gabe, like 34 mm-hmm. years ago, like in 94. They opened the United Center with the Bulls and WWE. But ever since then, it's just been Rosemont. It's been the Allstate Arena, Steve Austin's favorite arena because of the wood ceiling. it's been so for 30 years, they've been at Rosemont, right outside the airport, O'Hare Field. And so now they're back at the United Center, the home that Jordan built.
I went to a Raw at Rosemont, drove down from Milwaukee in like 2015, 16, something like that. And I just remember sitting there going, they had a WrestleMania in here?
No.
Like, really? I mean, you think about WrestleMania, it's now two nights. Football stadium's a big thing. And like, they had a WrestleMania in here once. Good for them.
There was a WrestleMania in Hartford also once upon a time.
Yeah, right.
Just the primitive days of WrestleMania, right? The slimmed down, you know, trimmed down version. And it is strange. There was a WrestleMania in Rosemont, Illinois. Yeah. Okay. But Steve Austin, he loves that building. But now at a big building, yeah, it's going to be interesting on Saturday.
With the wood paneling, the wood, like the sound just bounces off of everything. I can understand when he hears that, there's not a chance he heard anything after the glass shattered. He couldn't hear himself think. It was probably so loud back in the 90s then. But okay, we're talking about Chicago. And of course, Chicago is the home of the Elimination Chamber. What do you think the biggest story is? We start GKW. What's the biggest story to come out of Elimination Chamber after Saturday night?
Okay, so I think one of the stories, I think, Gabe, is that Finn Balor, it will be what we always known him as. It's just a nice hand. Unfortunately, he's much better than that. I think he's definitely a much better superstar than just a contender. But they're trying to build this up as if Finn Balor could win the championship because, CM Punk wins it overseas. And so now Finn Balor wants his look back, and it's just not happening. I think this will say a lot, I think, in one instance about Finn Balor just being a good hand, and he's better than this. I don't know. They're only doing a return match because they can't find anyone else to take on CM Punk. But that's one of the things that'll stand out. Like, this could be the main event, CM Punk and Finn Balor.
Then what's
Finn Balor after this?
It seems like to me, and especially the way Finn, it seems like, okay, they are going to try and kind of flip things with the Judgment Day, right? They're going to, okay, Finn's telling Dominic he needs to grow up, maybe go out there and do something on his own. Everybody was hurt. He had to go face Punk by himself, and that's what he's going to do. He doesn't enter the Judgment Day music anymore. He's going back to his old theme, which everybody loves. The Judgment Day is a heel faction, and Finn is starting to trend towards face. So I don't know if he breaks away, and then he's the one who has a match with Dom at WrestleMania. I don't know if it's for the IC Championship, but that's the way it's kind of trending. But again, and the IC Championship forever, we know, is the Workhorse Championship. That's what it's been known as. But it kind of feels like, yeah, that's the ceiling for Finn. I don't think we're ever going to see Finn Balor world champion ever again because it's been 11 years since he's held the world championship.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, too, is I'm trying to figure out, like, who's going to emerge as the star out of the Elimination Chamber. Yeah, they're going to be winners in the women's and men's chamber game, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, is there anything that's going to be a surprise for us? We watch wrestling because we want to see something we had never seen before. That's why you and I are sports fans. We turn on SportsCenter, yep. We watch games because we think, you know what? I've never seen that play before. I've never seen that before. I wonder, because this is a bridge to WrestleMania, are we going to see something a little bit out of the ordinary?
It feels like to me that Trick Williams is going to be one of the studs of the Elimination Chamber. I don't think he's going to win, right? And I don't know if somebody caught, you know, sneaks in and costs him, because they've done that before, you know, with the doors open as they're letting somebody who's been pinned or submitted out, and somebody sneaks in. And honestly, maybe that was going to be a way that they would have gone to get Bronson Reed out of there with the masked man. But now everybody from the Vision seems to be, or at least the original members of the Vision are injured right now. So I'm guessing the way that Trick Williams has been received, I'm guessing Trick is going to be one of the last two standing. And I'm guessing he'll eventually take the pin, because Cody's going to win this thing, because we know that, right? LOL, Cena wins. LOL, Cody wins. Mm-hmm. That's the way we're trending there. But it seems like he is going to... I don't know if I start him and he's one of the first two in that match, and then he's all the way there till the end until Cody eliminates him. But I think he's going to be the stud coming out of the men's, because of the reaction he's got and the way that WWE seems to be booking
it. You know, it's funny you say that, Gabe Neitzel, because I can harken back to SmackDown this past Friday, and it was a show that surprised me, because there's some things that we don't usually see. For instance, Aleister Black defeats Randy Orton. That was this past Friday on SmackDown, right?
Yes.
We saw Kiana James with a victory against two veterans like Nia Jax and Charlotte.
To get into the Elimination Chamber, she pinned Charlotte Flair.
Yeah. I thought that the show was, to me, and then Javon Evans winning the previous Raw, where Javon Evans wins over Gunther and Dom. I just feel like it's a strange time, because usually this is after WrestleMania, where you're trying to be able to develop new stars and give you new storylines. I feel like as we even get closer to WrestleMania, we start to see some young stars emerge. One of them is what you just talked about with Trick Williams. You usually would wait till after WrestleMania for him to have his coming out party. Dude is doing as much media as CM Punk and Cody Rhodes these days. He's everywhere. I saw him on FS1. I saw him on ESPN. So that's a good name that you give for Williams to have a good run at the Chamber.
Well, because that's what they seem to be doing with Oba Femi. Like, mm-hmm. Oba had a tremendous Royal Rumble, right? Like, he looked awesome. We talked about it at the time when we were at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. And now it's just he's going out there for squash matches. He's kind of doing a thing right now with Kit, right? And yeah, he's just squashing Kit. It just feels like they're trying to tread water of, okay, we don't really have anything for Oba for Mania, so we just got to get past Mania so we can start building up what his story is. But we want to take him off TV so people forget about him. So Oba's still there. Meanwhile, Trick, who also impressed in the Rumble, like, he's just got that rocket strapped to his back. And we're going to put you in this Elimination Chamber match. You're going to win your qualifying match to get in there. And I mean, I don't know who Trick wrestles at WrestleMania, but it feels like he's got to have a spot on the card the way he's been featured on television.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought that the Trick Williams on his matchup he had on SmackDown, and it kind of gave you a glimpse of when he was in NXT, right? He takes on the United States champion. Mm-hmm. As far as that three-way. And so I think that they definitely have the ball to Trick Williams to be able to take it and go places. I really like what they're doing with the young talent, because they look at the roster. We talk about this all the time on the show. Okay, it's an older roster. You got a world champion that's, what, 46, 47 in CM Punk. You've got Rhodes is over 40. So not trying to be ageist, but the business
is about... McIntyre's over 40.
Yeah, you're looking for young guys, young talent. Well, and it's sink or swim time for these guys.
And obviously there have been guys that have been younger and have come up. But honestly, like, we talk about that class still with reverence, even though now Cena's retired. But that OVW class, like him, Lesnar, Randy Orton, Shelton Benjamin's had varying levels of success in WWE. Yeah. And obviously he's wrestled a bunch of places elsewhere as well. But like this, I guess, class of Oba Femi, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, like these guys coming up right now. And you could even sprinkle Carmelo Hayes. Like, we talked to Carmelo. If you missed that, check out our YouTube page. He was on the show last week. And he talked about what he was able to do on NXT with Trick Williams and some of the storytelling they did there. But you look at those four, and That's the younger talent. Like, I'm waiting for one of those four to win a world championship. And when do you pull the trigger on that? When do they go over Cody or Punk or Roman or one of these guys that have been a mainstay in that main event picture? That's what I'm waiting for is, okay. We forgot about it because he's injured, but Bron Breakker's a part of that group as well.
Yes, he is. I do want to ask you about this, though, before we move on. You know, we talked about these young talents, and GKW is over the moon about what's next in all the, you know, WWE, AEW, just across the board. You want to see what's next. Zilla Fatu and the Indies and HOG, yeah. Like, what does that look like, right? It's all good. I wonder about the machine of, say, WWE. Mm-hmm. Remember when Kurt Angle was fast-tracked, Gabe? Remember when it was just like in 1 year he got all the championships, including the world titles? Like, wow, yeah. That he got over fast. I wonder how the machine works in this slow boil of WWE with Triple H. Is this like, yeah, we'll give them some wins, we'll stack some wins here or there, but when can these wrestlers that we just talked about, we talked about half dozen wrestlers right now, when will they be fast-tracked to the top? If any of them, outside of Bron Breakker, could be fast-tracked to the top? Or is it a slow boil?
I mean, it's going to be a slow boil.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, because let's just take Carmelo as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was probably the closest thing to a fast track. Who knows if they ever do a WWE draft again, right? Because it's just so interchangeable now. But he was one of the first round picks, right? And that was such a big thing. He makes his debut on SmackDown wrestling the WWE champion in Cody Rhodes. And there were some things that didn't go great in that match, you know, that we know that Carmelo was better than what that match ultimately ended up being. And we're starting to see that now that he's the U.S. champ. But he wasn't ready for that big spot right away. He kind of stumbled a little bit. He went away, and now he's really starting to build up, right, where you're starting to get excited about Carmelo Hayes again. I wonder, of all the ones we've talked about, it seems like the only one who could possibly be fast-tracked right now is Trick. Because of how open, of how over he is. Like, he had Randy Orton yelling, "Whoop that Trick," before he gave a DDT, you know, the Randy Orton signature DDT, the draping one. He yelled, "Whoop that Trick," before he gave the DDT to Aleister Black. Right. Yes. So, like, he's so over that the veteran is yelling one of the signature catchphrases, you know. So he seems like he's so over with the crowd that maybe they fast track him a little bit. But even fast tracking for him might be what? Intercontinental title? Maybe he gets in a feud for the U.S. title with Carmelo and they reheat that from their NXT days. It doesn't feel like fast-tracking for anyone right now is getting to the level of the WWE Championship.
Yeah, Booker T's son, he's doing a great job. There's no question. Okay. Come on, man. You can't tell me that he hasn't studied or had so much influence from Booker T when he's in NXT. It's the same guy, except actually more charisma.
Yeah, but that's kind of what they talk about with LA Knight, right? Oh, he's like Rock and Stone Cold. Well, yeah, of course. Like, he's my age. He grew up watching that stuff. I'm sure he imitated The Rock. I'm sure Trick Williams imitated, you know, when he was a kid wanting to get into professional wrestling, Booker T promos in the mirror. I guarantee you he did that.
Sucker. Saying sucker a million times in the mirror. Man, I you know how much I love that kid, man. I think that Trick Williams in any generation would get over that jive talk, those lemon pepper stepper shoes, just the, and I'm watching him like on SportsCenter and like FS1, I'm like, he's got the white robe with the like the frilly thing. Like, yeah. He's dressed that way. It's not like he's someone else. He's Trick Williams 24/7. Boy, that's gonna pay off, man, for the long haul, a guy like that.
100%. Quickly before we move on, I noticed we haven't spent a lot of time talking about the women's elimination chamber.
Yeah.
Who's going to win that? Because I think that's also interesting in terms of, okay, who's going to come away? So Tiffany Stratton, Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Kiana James, Raquel Rodriguez. And honestly, I think I could make a case for five out of the six. I can't make a case for Kiana, but I could make a case for the other five.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess there's a reason why we haven't talked a lot about it. You just read the names. I mean, like, there, it's fine, but I think we're going to take Kevin Nash's pick. Well, I think that Raquel is primed and ready to go. I think that she has done a tremendous job. Kevin told us at Potawatomi in Milwaukee at the casino hotel that, hey, they have a conversation all the time. They DM each other all the time. And Raquel is better from talking to Kevin Nash maybe that's not popular say now about Kevin, but Kevin is an influence, okay? Never mind about the headlines as of late. Kevin Nash is an influence on Raquel Rodriguez. I think we have speculated on the show, what if would Raquel versus Liv? That could be something mm-hmm. down the road, right? As the Judgment Day changes or it splinters or whatever. So that's my pick for the women's chamber, Raquel Rodriguez.
Now let's go ahead and dive into the three count. And off of this, we know the winner of the men's side, they're going to be facing Drew McIntyre. So Drew versus fill in the blank hood is the Mania match you want to see the most.
It's like what Drew would say, anybody but Cody, right? That's what he said. He goes, mm-hmm. he said in many interviews, like, I don't want to take on Cody again. And guess what? We don't need to see that match again. So blank for Mania. Well, what's Roman doing for Mania? What's he doing?
He's doing Punk. It's him versus Punk.
Okay. Now, you sure that he can't wrestle twice? seriously.
But the way it feels like WWE doesn't even really know. And I don't know when the last time we saw more than three, it might've been WrestleMania 2000. I'd have to go back when we saw more than three wrestlers fighting for the world championship. That's when you had, like, I think it was WrestleMania 2000 where you had a McMahon in every corner,
yes.
Representing a different wrestler. But it kind of feels like the way that Sami Zayn still kind of hanging around and Randy Orton and Jacob Fatu and like, is there a chance that this ends up being like a five-pack challenge to face Drew with all these other people kind of hanging around? Because again, it feels like a foregone conclusion that we're going to see Cody Rhodes win the Elimination Chamber. But I don't think, as you mentioned, anybody is really into Drew versus Cody yet again.
No.
So
no.
You would have to add, we've mentioned Fatu, okay, maybe make it a triple threat. But where does that leave Randy Orton? Where does that leave Sami Zayn? They seem to be telling bigger stories on SmackDown with those two as well. Could we see a five-pack challenge with those five? I don't know how you get there, because it seems like, oh, you win in the Elimination Chamber, then you face Drew. But it feels like there's more to be told, and we could have more wrestlers added to this thing.
LA Knight has no chance at this, huh?
Throw him in there too. I don't care. Make it a six-pack challenge.
That, you know, when you do that, now when you do that, that means that you're struggling creatively. I mean, you can do it, but that says that you don't have someone that is believable to be Drew McIntyre outside of Cody Rhodes for that championship. And also, there would be a joke that could be told by CM Punk and Roman Reigns. Like, look at that. They can't even find a one-on-one matchup. We're the main event of all of WrestleMania. Look at this. The scramble match for Drew McIntyre's championship. Listen, that's going to be a talking point. But it also says a lot for WWE. Now, all those people we just talked about are viable and should have an opportunity. But guess what? I don't want to see Sami Zayn in that spot again. I do not. Mm-hmm. We saw it in Saudi. We saw it at Pato. And it was just kind of like, if there was a worse match out of the matches we saw, that would be it. It doesn't mean it was bad, Gabe. I'm just saying, like, you know, you think in Saudi, Sammy gets over finally. Now, instead, he goes 0 for 12 against Drew. So now he's not believable as a contender or someone that could beat Drew. But you mentioned Randy Orton. You know, I don't think Randy could win it, but I'd like to see Randy try, because I know it'd be a good match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the problem. You need something fresh. And it seems like Drew had to convince everyone, like, hey, I got to win this championship. Otherwise, I'm dead in the water. And so they put him over Cody without much thought of, okay, well, Cody's going to chase the championship now. Oh, Cody definitely has to be chasing the championship without realizing, oh, Cody versus Drew. Nobody really, we've run that so many times over the last year. We can't really go back to that. So now what do we do here? Is it, I just honestly don't know. Do we have a double pin where it's Cody and in the Elimination Chamber? So now it's Cody and Randy and you get the triple threat that way and Fatu's upset. I don't know, but it seems like they decided to put the championship on Drew, which was the right decision to keep the viability of Drew McIntyre going forward, but haven't put much thought into, okay, how do we tell a compelling story to get Cody Rhodes back to this championship chase that people want to get behind?
Okay, well, how about this, Gabe? Let's settle on it, because we have to have an answer. We can't just go to the next one until we have an answer. So let's just predict a three-way.
Okay.
With Jacob and Cody and Drew. And then Drew slips out somehow. Like, unless you're ready for Jacob Fatu to be world champion. I don't think anyone sees him as world champion yet.
I mean, the thing that makes them, again, I guess the thing that maybe makes the most sense is Drew gets involved, gives a claymore, and then somebody pins Cody Rhodes. And now you're like, oh, well, this guy has to face Drew. But then, you know, Nick Aldis is, well, I can't have Drew be running around. He cost Cody at the Royal Rumble. He cost him at the Elimination Chamber. Cody deserves this chance. And then you get the three. And then, so I'm going to say four-way. I'm going to say Randy Orton, Jacob Fatu, Cody Rhodes versus Drew.
Scramble match. That's what they used to call it. Scramble match. I think that's fine. Because if you don't have them in the match, what are they doing at WrestleMania? What are they doing? Cody starting off one of the WrestleManias against Jacob Fatu in a grudge match, or like what are they doing?
The number one contenders match.
It just, you gotta settle it somehow. And I think with four guys, you get a lot of action there. But again, just remember, I'm going to put a pin in this. It kind of shows you where they are creatively. And by the way, I know they had to move a lot of stuff around. They've had a lot of injuries.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that they're probably scrambling right now just to figure out how they want to settle things for WrestleMania. So this is a survive in advance card they're going to put together.
But it kind of tells you why they've been struggling for WrestleMania tickets. Like the combination of the tickets being outrageously expensive. You're running the same town for the second consecutive year for WrestleMania. So people who want to travel maybe don't want to go back there. And now creatively, the only thing that you have that's really good is Punk versus Roman. Like that's your WrestleMania poster. That's fantastic. But Liv versus Vakir, I think, okay, but you just settled that recently on Monday night, right? The other two, we just mentioned that the winner of the Elimination Chambers are up for. You're like, I can kind of see this. Not super into it. Like, there's nothing that's incredibly hot. And even, I mean, Punk versus Roman's cooled down because Roman hasn't been around and Punk's doing the side thing with Finn. But you know, you have confidence in those two performers that they're going to heat it up because of the promo that they had 2-3 weeks ago, whatever it was. You know that's going to heat back up, and you know people are going to be excited for Punk versus Roman. But creatively, this is the first time in a long time where it's like, oh, yeah, they don't – some of it's injuries, some of it – but some of it's of their own doing of, I'm not quite sure what this card's going to look like for both nights.
Just make sure you put Austin Theory in bubble wrap.
Yeah, or Logan Paul.
And Logan Paul, yeah.
Got to do something with them. But we keep mentioning Liv Morgan as well. And number two this week here on the three count, we had an opportunity last week. So she does make a mention how she hadn't made her decision yet last Friday. She made a decision Monday on Raw. We talked with Liv Morgan ahead of, again, getting to WrestleMania season, what's going to be happening at Backlash in Tampa as well. Excited to welcome in our next guest here on GKW because, well, she is the Women's Royal Rumble winner. She's got some choices to make, but of course you can check out her and everybody else in WWE. Is Backlash is heading to Tampa on May 9th. Tickets are on sale now. Of course, she is Liv Morgan. Liv, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for hopping on.
Thank you. You know, I just want to say before we get started, I am not just the Royal Rumble winner. I am the greatest Royal Rumble winner of all time.
Oh, good point.
We got the short,
very good point.
We got the short version today.
No, I want the long version always.
Liv, you have accomplished so much in your WWE career and now being the greatest Women's Royal Rumble winner of all time, being a part of that. How much, when you started and you got called up to the main roster, did you imagine all of this for yourself? How much do you think you've grown in this time?
I had hoped for it myself, but honestly, in WWE, nothing is guaranteed. You can do all the right things. You could do all the same work as someone else that is on the run of a lifetime, you know, but it kind of just has to be all the stars aligning. It has to be like this perfect marriage of all these things for, I believe, someone to really take off. And so I've been very lucky. I've been very blessed. I've had an amazing last 4 years of my career. And I'm looking to keep it going. You know, I know this is a great version of Liv Morgan, but this is not the greatest version of Liv Morgan.
Liv, I want to ask you about your Judgment Day teammate, Raquel Rodriguez. What do you think of her growth in the company over the years as a wrestler and as a personality?
I think it's been amazing. I think it's been so much fun to watch her. I think it's been so much fun to watch her get her flowers. She's always been great. She's always been dominant. She's always been amazing. So I enjoy people finally catching up to speed and seeing what I've always known about her. It's been really amazing. And I'm just happy for her. I'm proud of her. That is my sister. That is my best friend. She's asleep in the other room right now.
You know, as you go down this path of picking a WrestleMania opponent, we've made the case on this show, you should be main eventing. One of the nights of WrestleMania should end with Liv Morgan in the ring. Why do you think Liv Morgan should be in a Mania main event?
Because I am the most talked about, the hottest, the most iconic, the most talented, the most charismatic WWE superstar of all time. I worked 11 years to scratch and claw for an opportunity to win the Royal Rumble. And I finally did. I am the bride. I'm no longer the bridesmaid. So now I am in a very powerful position to where I can pick anyone I want heading into WrestleMania. And I'm not taking that lightly. Every week, everyone's asking, Liv, who are you going to pick? Liv, who are you going to pick? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to rush it, which I'm not. I'm going to make the best decision for me. And I'm going to be the most talked about heading into WrestleMania, which is why I'm going to main event WrestleMania, because I'm going to be that undeniable that they're going to have no choice.
I mean, do you want to, I mean, I don't want to rush you or anything, but I mean, if you want to make a
don't
choice
rush
right
me.
Now,
don't
feel
rush
free.
Me, don't rush
well, I just wanted to give me. You the opportunity. I just put it out there for you just in case you want to.
I'm still deciding. Okay. I'm still deciding. Fine. I'm still deciding. Figuring it out. I'm like, you know, I might pull the longest straw. I might do a little rock, paper, scissor. I don't really know how we're going to work this out, but we're going to work it out. I don't have that much time left.
Yeah, you still got a little bit of time though. But I mean, going back to Judgment Day, I mean, it just feels like everybody has grown within that group. What has it been like for this group that, I mean, again, it feels like it was going to break up a long time ago, but the group is still together and everybody's still growing.
Yeah, the Judgment Day is a family at the end of the day. And we say this all the time. And people think that we're joking. They must think we don't mean it. The Judgment Day is a family, and family fights. I don't know if you guys have brothers and sisters, but I have six brothers and sisters. So I was always fighting with my family. And that's exactly how it is in the Judgment Day. We love each other. There's an unconditional love. We might fight sometimes, but we want the greatest good for everyone. And so we pull each other up, we keep each other going, we keep each other accountable, and we're really just there for each other, which makes us the greatest, most dominant faction in the history of WWE. Our accolades altogether, I think, outdo any other group or faction in WWE.
Liv, with the travel, with Netflix and the interest in the product, what would you say is the state of the company right now, the way things are going in 2020.
Thriving. We're doing amazing, sweetie. Can't be better.
Thank you.
It's a very brief state of the union, but that works.
Thank you.
We talked earlier this week, Carmelo Hayes, about his group of NXT becoming the next group, the next it group in the WWE. It seems like that change in the guard might be happening. How much do you look at yourself as almost the leader of the women's locker room saying, hey, we are that next class of dominant superstars?
Yeah, you know, the WWE is stacked right now. NXT is stacked right now. There is going to be an influx of incredible, phenomenal talent leading the way for the next generation, which is amazing because you always want to leave whatever you found better than when you found it, right? And so I know that the future of women's wrestling is secure, but as great and talented as everyone may be, they are not greater or more talented than Liv Morgan. There's only Liv Morgan. There's only one Liv Morgan. And so it's amazing to know that we are going to be in a good place. But while I'm here, there's no one better than me.
We certainly appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you make your decision whenever that is. Of course, check out Liv Morgan with WWE Backlash heading to Tampa, Florida, May 9th. Tickets on sale now. You just look like you're having a blast, and I think the audience is having a blast with you. So congratulations.
What do you guys think I should do?
I mean, it's pretty obvious. Like it's Stephanie. I think it's Stephanie Vaquer. Like, I mean, after everything that just happened on Raw, it feels like there's something there. Feels like, you know,
giant particle of dust smack me in the eye.
Well, I didn't realize it was a particle of dust. I thought she made you cry on national TV, Liv, and I thought you got to get revenge for making you cry.
I had never seen a particle of dust this big in my whole entire life. I cannot believe the camera didn't pick it up. It literally smacked me in my face and almost like knocked me out of my seat. I was like, whoa, my eyes.
I mean, we'll also throw out, we do it when you're not here, but we think Raquel is champion. You and Raquel at Mania seems like a home run.
Do you think that my sister and I are going to fight against each other? Did you hear what I said? She's asleep in the other room.
Siblings fight. It happens. We've seen siblings at Mania.
You just said siblings fight.
Think we're going to fight at all?
Yeah.
Y'all are troublemakers, and you guys are trying to stir the pot, okay? I don't know if you guys have ever had a best friend before, but it's not how things work.
If she's in the next room, then roll her up for 1, 2, 3.
No, she's getting her beauty rest. She's getting her beauty rest.
Give her a little lateral press.
Liv, thank you so much. Best of luck making the decision. Look forward to seeing you, not just at WrestleMania, but of course, Backlash in Tampa. Again, that's Liv Morgan. And we now know, on Monday, she is picking Stephanie Vaquer for her opponent at WrestleMania.
Very interesting conversation with Liv Morgan, weaving in and out of character on us. So Liv actually is in her bag. I just remember the infancy of this show. One of our big topics we had at Good Karma Wrestling is, who's Liv Morgan? What is she supposed to be, right? Trying to figure out who she is. And now we know who she is. And she is at the tippy top of her profession, an opportunity for her to once again be champion at some point soon.
Yeah. So again, if you happen to miss the entire interview, make sure you go back on our YouTube page and listen to it and watch it in full. Number three.
I'm in the Elimination Chamber. See this?
Yeah, what's going on right now? We have a timer to get you out of that pod? Like, are you just going to have to suddenly run out of there? Do I have to run down and break you out?
I think you have to. I'm in the Elimination Chamber with this glass right behind me. It's crazy. New building.
So our buddy Evan Cohen, who has been on the show, he's the reason this show exists, first and foremost. But secondly, the only show that gets more wrestling guests than Good Karma Wrestling seemingly is his show, Unsportsmanlike. They are just shuffling those guys through. And Cody Rhodes was on earlier this week, of course, promoting Elimination Chamber, promoting the WrestleMania, because that's all on and a part of the ESPN app now that the premium live events are a part of the WWE family. And Cody had mentioned in his interview on Wednesday with Unsportsmanlike that, hey, not every time he goes out there, it's not a home game. He brought up an instance where he had somebody come up and said, hey, they just showed your picture on the Jumbotron. It's going to be a road game tonight for you, Cody. So he's starting to get those mixed reactions. He compared it to John Cena. A year from now, is there a possibility that Cody Rhodes is a heel in WWE?
Yes, and even sooner than that, Gabe, because I talked to him one-on-one yesterday at the United Center. He came through to try to promote the Elimination Chamber. He was in New York. Actually, he talked to Evan, then talked to me. That's what happened. He came to Chicago, talked to me and some of the media here in Chicago. And he kind of gave me kind of a non-answer to the question. What I asked him is this. Tell me if this is a journalistically sound question.
Okay.
I asked him, I said, Cody, you're QB1 of WWE. He goes, well, thank you. He said, so he did that. Okay, fine. He uttered his breath.
You're the self-proclaimed QB1, but.
Yes. He said, thank you. I almost chuckled, almost lost it there when he said, thank you. I said, you're QB1 of WWE. Thank you. And I said, you know, the way you've talked to Jacob Fatu and Sami Zayn, is that emblematic of you trying to show leadership in the locker room? Because it's kind of far-fetched from how you usually talk to your, you know, your teammates or your, you know, the other wrestlers. And it gave me kind of a non-answer, kind of did a roller coaster there. So I feel like the from the gleam in his eye that I could tell that there might be a little bit of a Ric Flair feel to Cody Rhodes. I got my bus and I've got my hot wife and I've got my family and I'm QB1 and I've been world champion and I'm the reason why this place, why the lights are on in this place, because it's Cody Rhodes and the legacy of the Cody, the Rhodes family, all this kind of stuff. So I feel like that is a possibility. And I'll also say this, that anybody could be a heel, Gabe. Anybody can turn a heel. It's fine. It's how you treat that heel. It's what you do with it. Do you fumble it like John Cena, or do you follow through with it and do it the right way? So if they could do it the right way, I could see Cody still having his fans, but also going to the dark side some too.
So you brought up him. I mean, he talked down to Sami Zayn, right?
He did.
Because if I'm Sami, again, Sami's like, hey, man, I helped you. You didn't help me in this match. Like I could have done. And then Sammy's bringing up finishing the story, which, by the way, who is there to help you finish the story? Who is there to help you defeat The Rock and Roman and all of that that went into Cody finishing his story a couple years ago at WrestleMania? Sami was one of those guys. Sami was one of those guys helping you, trying to get over on the bloodline. Like, Sammy's been there to help you, Cody. And if you can't recognize that and be grateful to Sami for that, to me, that's a heelish tendency.
But what pissed me off about what happened on Friday is that Cody says, well, that's the reason why you're not world champion, talking down to Sami. And then Sami circles back and apologizes to Cody. The fans in Sunrise, Florida started booing. They're mm-hmm. like, wait a minute, Sami, don't you apologize to Cody. Cody's saying that the reason why you're not world champion is da-da-da-da. Well, here's the thing. Sami shouldn't have apologized to Cody for that. Fans didn't like that. And so I feel like there's going to be a malfunction at the junction with Cody Rhodes and Sami and some of the other baby faces. Because if he keeps doing this, he is going to be a heel.
Yeah, and whether or not they're booking him, like, they're booking him in that direction. And I know Cody has been on record, oh, I always want to be the big baby face, the white meat baby face, taking that role basically from John Cena. Because Cena never turned until, you know, this last run, and it failed spectacularly. But, like, Cody's kind of, again, if you tell the story of Cody turning heel, kind of cracking under the pressure of chasing the championship, going after the championship, okay, that's interesting. And, look, he's the American Nightmare. He's got the... We know they're not going to change his music just because he's a heel. They didn't change Seth Rollins' music, even though everybody loves singing along with it, right? Like, yeah. that hasn't changed anything. So it's more about how he acts. And I don't think in 2026 you're necessarily going to sell less merch just because you're a heel. I think people like the logo. People like Cody. He's still going to sell the merch. And Cody Rhodes as a heel would make him a lot more interesting than he is right now.
You know, because he's been a babyface so long, you just know that a heel turn would be there for some. You know, Cody didn't really want to turn heel in AEW, and he could have. You remember all those times he was booed in a lot of different buildings because he's such a good guy, and he would never turn. And now with WWE, I mean, if you're Cody, you have to look at the Cena game plan and how that did not work. And again, it's all possible, but Gabe, what if they fumble it again? You know, to me, I think that the cheers and the boos for Cody is more, I think he'll be more sustainable than him just being a full-fledged heel. We've seen him that way. We saw him that way in TNA, saw him that way in the Indies, and seemed to work for me, took the dye out of his hair. Totally different guy, right?
Well, but again, that's the sign, right? If he stops, you know, bleach blonde, you know, with the hair, and he goes back to the natural color, that's the sign. Oh, yeah. Cody's a bad guy now.
See, I agree with you, but Kevin Nash disagrees with us. He thinks that that's 100% heel with that damn hair color and the way he goes around. I mean, his dad had hair color like that. So I don't know, man. Cody Rhodes as a heel works, but the other side of it is, who is your extreme baby faces that could take that spot? Is that LA Knight? Is that Jacob Fatu? Is that eventually Trick Williams? Like, who is that going to be? Because that matters too. It's the balance of the roster.
Yeah. And which is why again, a year seems too soon for me, because it's got to be one of those young guys that we were talking about, whether that's Obafemi, whether it's Trick, whether it's Carmelo Hayes. But it seems like in order to be that top babyface that maybe is chasing after Cody, it's going to take a little bit of time, because otherwise it's just, we're going to recycle the names we were talking about from the chamber, or who's going to be in the scramble match that we were fantasy booking for the Drew McIntyre championship, right? It's the Sammys. It's the, I guess Fatu's a baby face, you know, Randy Orton. It's those guys that would be chasing after Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. I think that that's a possibility for the future. Cody still does all the right things, man, even though that he's, you know, he's done some heelish things. He's still great with the PR. That's the thing, man. He's the go-to guy to be able to speak about the company. And so,
I think he wants to do those things.
Yeah, yeah. He was seeing his future, by the way, in a lot of interviews I heard, including with me, because I asked him, I said, what's your future look like? He said, all your friends are leaving. I said, AJ Styles is retired. John Cena's gone. Goldberg's gone. I said, so what's your future? And he just like, he was thinking about it. He goes, yeah, you know, at some point, I can see me and Roman and, you know, and Bailey and some of the other veterans on this roster running creative post Triple H if he wants to. He sees himself in that position. So, I mean, he's got to think about his, you know, his future as well. I mean, he's still a younger man. He's in his 40s. But I don't know if he wants to do it until he's 55 or 60, like his old man.
Well, he had mentioned, and he doesn't really talk, he said he wasn't really talking about years, but he had said in one of these interviews that he's been doing on the circuit, I think he might have even said it with Unsportsmanlike, that whenever he signs his next deal, and I don't know how much time, he didn't say how much is left on the current deal. He said, whenever he signs his next deal, that's going to be the last one. He's not going anywhere.
Oh, wow.
He's sticking with WWE. And whenever that last contract comes, that's probably going to be the last one. Now, again, for all I know, he signed until he's 45, and then he signs another 5-year deal, and he's there till he's 50. So that could be still a decade at this point, Hood. But yeah, he's thinking about it to the point of, and again, probably for the same reason of AJ Styles. And even though I guess I think about this in sports terms, right? We talk about it, I think, in the NFL, where the money is just so high. I think you see some guys maybe retire before we would have in years past, because, well, I got the money, I've got my championship. What am I chasing at this point? Do I continue to beat up my body? And that's what, you know, happened with AJ Styles, you know, in you know, 7 or 8 years, as the Rhodes children are older, does he want to be there for their high school years? Does he want to be home and more present? Because that's the big reason why AJ Styles stepped away. He wanted to be home with his kids, and he's made enough money. He doesn't have to keep chasing it, because the money just keeps getting bigger and bigger for big superstars like Cody Rhodes. And if you're smart with the money and you're going to be able to make it last, you might be able to retire sooner rather than later.
The TKO money is greater than the McMahon money. Big way. That TKO stock.
Yeah.
It is much more than even McMahon money. You know what's missing, by the way, in our wrestling discourse? Because you and I are sports guys, and we go through spot track, and we can look at salaries and years. You know, for this ridiculousness that we do with the wrestling conversation, we don't, where is that website with the years and the contract and the money for wrestling? That way it's much more easier to follow. How come we don't have that in wrestling? When that one website goes, oh yeah, Cody signed for 5 years for $200 million. Oh yeah, and by the way, they've got still Cena on the books for another. Like, how come we don't have that? We have that for every other sport. We don't have that for wrestling. Can we get that?
Well, if we're going to cross sport, can you imagine if real sports teams could extend contracts because of injury the way they do in pro wrestling?
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were going to be a free agent, but we got to tack on extra time to that contract because you missed some dates there for us.
So that way, like, the baseball guys are on there for another, you know, they could be out for quite a while, but they're playing another season. They're going to play those 6 months, 8 months. You got to be with the system, or maybe 2 years, depending on how much injury time that you have. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's why we don't have Spotrac for WWE, because you don't know when they can add, because they don't know when you can add the injury time and how much time is going to be added for injury time.
So like for Bronson Reed, who could be out for 3 to 6 with that injury with the,
with the bicep injury.
Okay. So now you're tacking on an extra, you know, 6 months to that, whatever his contract is. By that time, the vision could be fizzled. It could be disbanded. And he's just a guy out there, you know, taking on, you know, just contenders, you know, taking on Rusev.
Yeah. It's who knows? Yeah. And you just add time because that's the way it works in professional wrestling. We thought Chris Jericho's contract was at the end of the year. You go to the AEW website, his face is still on the active roster page because they're adding injury time.
That's what we need. We need actual, contracts and money and years, just like all the other sports. That way it's easier to follow. That's what I would say. There you go.
We move on now to news and notes this week, where we start NXT Stand and Deliver, which has been typically, because WrestleMania's been 2 days, it's usually been Saturday afternoon, early Saturday afternoon, watch NXT Stand and Deliver. Maybe then you go over to the main show of WrestleMania. Stand and Deliver not taking place during WrestleMania weekend this year.
I guess they say, well, we're struggling for tickets in Vegas. Where will we put them? I mean, would it be in Henderson? Reno, where would NXT be? But at the same time, Gabe, it could be anywhere, right? It doesn't have to necessarily be in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way they've traditionally done it.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be going to St. Louis.
And a small venue, by the way. It's like the music venue. Remember the last time they were in St. Louis? They were going to put in the home of the St. Louis Blues at the Enterprise Center. Enterprise Center.
Randy
18,000. Right? And then you find out Randy's at a draw in his own hometown. They didn't put it in Chevitz, the St. Louis Billikens Stadium either. They just went to this like smaller venue, like a 2,000 seater or whatever it is. It's like, wow, if you can't sell out Enterprise with the name of Randy Orton and you can't sell out the Billikens Stadium and then go to the smaller venue, I guess for NXT it's fine because AEW probably would run it.
Oh, yeah.
They'd run it if they had to. So, yeah, absolutely.
They wouldn't feel bad about it whatsoever.
No.
A familiar name is going to be part of the commentary team for Ring of Honor and Maple Leaf Pro Global Wars on March 27th. Mauro Ranallo, the former SmackDown voice, of course, has done combat sports for years, going to be making his return to professional wrestling and be a part of the commentary team for the Ring of Honor and Maple Leaf Pro Global Wars, March 27th.
Yeah, Mauro works with the company. He did some stuff with them last year because he's a free agent when it comes to wrestling commentary. So it's always solid, always fun to listen to him. Don Callis, part of that as well. I think there was another name that popped up there as well. Ian Riccaboni also will be part of that broadcast team as well because, well, Ian's on Ring of Honor, and a lot of people don't even hear his commentary. So it'll be good to see him pop up someplace where people actually can hear his commentary. So that company, by the way, they don't run every week. I think it's maybe once a month or once every other month. They do well. They do really well because it's just different than the other companies. So, good on them for getting Mauro to be able to do their commentary.
Meanwhile, on Monday night, we had the celebration of AJ Styles, and then AJ Styles was invited to make the jump to AEW by Swerve Strickland, saying via Monopoly events that, quote, he's happy for AJ, proud of AJ. He's someone I study endlessly alongside Bryan Danielson and those guys in that area. Nigel McGuinness, I looked up to watch those guys. AJ has earned more than enough in his career to walk away from it or continue on and do something different and unique with the generation of guys he has curated and spawned. His influence spawned an AEW style. Will Ospreay, Seth Rollins, myself, Mike Bailey, we've all watched and studied AJ. So if he wants to take a chance, come to AEW, which he is more than capable, healthy, and in great shape mentally, hopefully, and physically, from what I view, to compete in All Elite Wrestling. We're all here, open, waiting to see if he decides to make that jump. Now, of course, there was speculation that WWE surprised AJ in hopes that maybe he would not make that jump to AEW, but AJ seems to be insisting that he is retired, his neck's been killing him, and he wanted to step away. And now he wants to help the next generation of WWE superstars.
They didn't want AJ to do a Jericho. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's just like, you know, we have fostered you. We've paid you a lot of money. We don't want you to leave your WWE for life. And Jericho says, no, I'm going to go someplace else. Same thing with Edge, with Adam Copeland. We put you in the WWE Hall of Fame. We want you to be a WWE lifer. And Copeland's like, yeah, I still have another run in me. I'm going to go to AEW. They don't want that again. And so with AJ Styles, I'm sure it was a surprise. And I guess the overarching point about this we should talk about, Gabe, is like, we were all swerved. I think it's all of us that wanted AJ to do more in the ring, because it wasn't like a guy that lost two or three steps and just hanging on. It's a guy there, it's still in his prime, that can still be able to entertain us and have great matches. So I think a lot of it, it's on me, it's on you. We just wanted to see more from AJ because we saw his last few matches and he hadn't missed a beat. And so now for him to just absolutely just cut it off and just retire, it's like, well, if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it while you're relatively healthy, that you yet you don't look bad in the ring. And so he's retiring. When you bring the wife out and the kids, that'll be all. And that's it. And he actually is retiring. So that hats off to AJ, because I think on this show, we thought that there was another run, and it's not happening.
Yeah, well, yeah, I did. I thought, oh, okay. And even if he wasn't going to show up in AEW, I thought, okay, he'll show up in New Japan, do a couple more matches throughout the course of the year. Because again, it was, 2026 is last year. No, 2026 it turned out to be his last month.
it was his last month
of professional wrestling, not his last year. And I think that's just as AJ Styles fans, especially seeing the great matches he had at the end of WWE, hoping that he would go and provide some of these. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. I'm really curious if retirement in professional wrestling is actually going to be a real thing. Because it's never been a real thing.
Right.
But kind of seems like that's it for John Cena. Like, I think I'd be honestly surprised if he came back for a match. I'd be less surprised if AJ's inclined to come back in a match at a hand for a match somewhere in a few years, just because he is a pro wrestling junkie. But it seems like pro wrestling retirements could actually be a real thing going forward.
We don't have any more Terry Funks or Ric Flairs anymore, or Dusty Rhodes. We don't have those anymore, where they just can't stand to be out of the ring, because it's a deeper conversation, Gabe, but when you're a performer, you're just waiting for that phone to ring, because that's all you've done for 30, 40 years is get on the road, pack a bag, and go perform and cut yourself for 20 minutes, and get paid, and then drink it or snort it or whatever, and then go to do it the next night. That's what they've done for years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm talking about old school. That doesn't necessarily happen today. But back in the day, like every night you're cutting yourself, and every night you're wrestling 30, 40 minutes, and you're getting paid well, and you go to party and all that, and you don't see your family you're on the road for 300 days a year, and that's what you're used to. And so that's why those guys couldn't let it go. But see how different things are now? Wellness program. You take time for your family. The road is not as rigorous as it once was. You're not on the road 300 nights a year. So you can understand. You can look at those dividend checks. You open it up and you go, I'm good. I don't need to keep doing this every night. I'm good. We can live off of this. I think our kids' kids can live off of this. And so I can retire happy with money in the bank and relatively good health.
And finally, in news and notes, kind of disappointing that our guy Brian Rowitz isn't here to talk about this, but his guy, Paul Walter Hauser, has signed on to play Mick Foley. That's right. Mrs. Foley's baby boy in a movie. So Paul Walter Hauser is going to be playing Mick Foley in an upcoming biopic about Mick.
Okay. So Paul does wrestle, and he has taken bumps. Now the thing is, what about the long hair? What about the beard? What about the bang bang? Can he be able to master that voice and everything else? That's the thing. Like, you could play him, but can you be able to have the physicality and have the voice and the introspective nature of Mick Foley? That'll be interesting to see if Paul can pull that off.
Yeah, I'm very curious as well. He's done some vast roles, certainly in his career. And I got to imagine this is probably one he's going to be really excited for, given his affinity for professional wrestling.
We'll see. I mean, I think he had the body type to pull it off for Mick. Mick was never necessarily a body guy.
Yep.
So he could, you're kind of a rubber ball in wrestling. And kind of Paul has been that as well. When I've seen him perform, kind of a rubber ball, takes a lot of punishment. I've seen him bleed. You love these guys that actually love the sport. Before that, it was the guy from Mad TV. That guy loved wrestling. The comedian. You know what I'm talking about. The Canadian comedian.
Yeah.
He wrestled Brett in WCW. but that guy, he's actually doing a TV show now on CBS. But that guy that does all the great impressions. I mean, when you get guys that can cross over that actually want to be part of the scene, want to do a biopic, biopic. It's kind of cool.
What did you have for your match of the week?
Let me tell you, as I just broke down to you earlier, I really liked what I saw on SmackDown. Just the surprises, right? If I went to the window in Vegas and say, yeah, you know what? Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, Kiana James. Give me Charlotte Flair for the chamber. Nope. Don't get Charlotte Flair. I get Kiana James. That's pretty good. Okay. Like that's not what I expected. Mm-hmm. And also, if you saw the finish of that, Gabe, that the way that Kiana rolled up Charlotte to counteract that figure eight, I'm like, yep, I've never seen that before. That was interesting.
Just kind of slid in there and kind of got her into a crucifix pin. Like it was pretty creative. I thought to me, of all the chamber matches that they did on Raw and SmackDown this last week, that was my favorite one.
I did say Kiana James, right? Is that what I said?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because it's hot in here. I thought I said Kiana Carter. I thought it was maybe a running back for
the
Bengals. Yeah. It's like, okay, just want to make sure.
Flashback to the 90s. We start naming 90s running backs.
Well, it's hot in this phone booth, so I just want to make sure I was saying the right name. On Dynamite, that main event was just off the chain. Young Bucks. And yeah, go ahead.
That was just a basically like televised version of Anarchy in the Arena, was it not?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. It was wild, though. It was wild. I have to give it to him, man. They played the Jungle Boy theme about 8 times.
Because that's what they do at Anarchy in the Arena, right?
So it's about 3 million.
The entire time, yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty fun. Now, like, for someone as a traditional wrestling fan, I do like the craziness at times, and that was just – you know, spot fest, but people in Denver loved it. They really did. It was tremendous.
Yeah, Mile High Mayhem, I believe.
Mile High Mayhem, that's it.
Was the name of that match. Because, again, that's what AEW does. I don't know if that means they're not going to do Anarchy in the Arena this year because they just did it there. Who knows what they ultimately end up doing there. If you happen to miss any of the show, make sure you check it out. Our YouTube page, youtube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Comment, subscribe. Look back at past interviews. We had talked about when we talked talking with Carmelo Hayes. So you can go check that out as part of our YouTube page, all the past interviews, all of the past shows. We've got Elimination Chamber in Chicago on Sunday. We're getting closer to Revolution in AEW. The one thing I know for sure is we're going to talk about it next week right here on GKW.